Text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 18. I read for you again these words. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Our Lord wants His people to live in harmony with one another. He wants us to rescue and restore a brother who has fallen into sin. Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." But we are, by nature, accountants and record keepers. We may let our brother know by word or deed that he's offended us. Maybe. More likely than not, we'll keep track of everything he's ever done wrong, especially against us. We do not let him off the hook. We demand restitution and vengeance. Instead of saving him, we condemn him. Or, at least, we want to put a limit on our forgiving him, letting him off the hook, absorbing his debt, and suffering the loss. Well, that's certainly what Peter suggests in his question to Jesus. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? It seems that Peter can take the idea of forgiving someone who sins against you, but only up to a certain point. 1 time, sure. 2 or 3 times? Okay, I can go along with that. But more than that? Well, that gets a little dicey. How often am I supposed to keep forgiving the jerk? So Peter picks a number that he thinks sounds very generous and magnanimous. As many as 7 times? That would be going the extra mile, wouldn't it, Master? Peter's willing to show forgiveness 7 times over. Surely that, as many as 7 times? And then I can start paying the guy, I can start getting back at the guy, right? That's reasonable, isn't it? After all, there's a limit to a man's patience. Well, Peter, let me give you a lesson on the new math in God's kingdom, Jesus proceeds to tell him. You say 7 times? I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Wow, that's a lot. Let's do the math. 70 times 7. 0, 49, man. That's 490 times. I'm supposed to give someone who sins against me 490 times? How am I supposed to keep track of that? Well, that's the point. You're not supposed to keep track of that. No scorekeeping. If you try to play that scorekeeping game, imagine how it will work out for you if God kept score on you. Especially when you consider how much you sin against Him. The idea is that if you don't keep track, the idea is that you don't keep track or keep score at all. What Jesus says is that your forgiveness is to be without limit. After all, love keeps no record of wrongs. So, Jesus tells Peter a story to get the point across. It goes like this. There's this servant who owes his master a vast sum of money. 10,000 talents. That's about 60 million days' wages. Certainly more than this man could ever repay. It's an utterly unpayable amount. You wouldn't live or work enough lifetimes to pay off that debt. And the master is about to drop the hammer on the guy to sell him, his family, and all that he has to pay the debt, though even that wouldn't even make a dent in what is owed. And then the servant falls down before the master and begs him for mercy. Give me just a little more time and I'll pay you back everything. The man is delusional. There is no way that he could ever pay back such a huge amount, no matter how long he had. And then, in a marvelous twist, the master has mercy on him and forgives him the entire amount. Now, Jesus is not giving us a lesson in economics and fiscal policy. No, he's illustrating how God does deal with us. You and I owe God an insurmountable amount of debt. We have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. By all the wrong things we've done, and by all the good things we have failed to do. We daily sin much and deserve nothing from God but His temporal and eternal punishment. Indeed, if you evaluate your life in the light of the Ten Commandments, you will see that you come up way short. All my thoughts, all my words, all my deeds, sins of commission, sins of omission. If I try to add up all my sins of all my life in terms of debt, my balance would be astronomical, beyond comprehension. And there's nothing you can do to make up for it, to pay off all that you owe. In fact, you can't even repay God in the least. But God has forgiven your debt, the whole amount, and even more. That's why Jesus came, to pay off what you couldn't pay. God's own Son came down from heaven and took on the whole burden of your sin. And the price He paid to cancel your debt was not any amount of gold or silver, but something infinitely more valuable. Christ redeemed you with His holy, precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. Jesus cried out on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished. The debt is paid in full." Now, you and I can cry out, I'm debt free. Jesus has paid it all. Thank you, Lord. I am living by forgiveness. But that servant is not satisfied with being forgiven such a large debt. He keeps track. If anyone owes him anything, he's going to get what's coming to him. So he goes out and finds a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii, which is not an insignificant amount. It's about 100 days' wages. And yet, though he'd been given such a large amount that he could never repay, he shows no mercy to the fellow who owes him money. And seizing him, he begins to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. This fellow servant pleads with him, using the same words he had pleaded with the master. Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But to no avail. The unmerciful servant has the poor man thrown in jail until the debt should be paid. Now, it's not hard to see where all this is headed. Even we can see that this was not right. But what about you? Are you that unmerciful servant? Do you keep score of the wrongs done to you? Do not deceive yourself. Whoever lives by scorekeeping will die by scorekeeping. Indeed, that kind of life is not of the kingdom of God. For living in His kingdom is living by forgiveness. First and foremost, God's forgiveness of you. And then, from that vast storehouse of forgiveness that you have received, you forgive your brother from your heart, without limit, no keeping track or keeping score. So how is it for you? Is there somebody you're holding a grudge against? Let it go. Forgive the person from your heart. Don't store it up for ammunition to use later. Yes, that person may truly have hurt you. Sin hurts. It's real. It's not nothing. But realize that you yourself are living from forgiveness. So how can you withhold forgiveness from your brother or sister? It just doesn't work that way. After all, living with unforgiveness leads to bitterness, and that bitterness will only consume you. It won't do anything to the brother or sister, but it will consume you. You'll lie in bed at night and stew in your juices. That doesn't help anybody. Let it go. God has forgiven that person because of the blood of Christ. So how can you not? And if you think it can't be done, consider Joseph. After everything he'd suffered, after being sold into slavery by his brothers, after all the trouble he encountered while he was in Egypt, when he had the chance to get back at his brothers, to get even, he doesn't. He forgives them, fully. He doesn't hold any grudges. And even when his brothers don't believe that, even though the brothers think he's going to get even with us, Joseph has to say again, I forgive you and I will provide for you and your families. That's an example of how forgiveness works. Our God is a God who forgives. We read in Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And how does he do that? How can God let his justice go unfulfilled? He sent his own son to be the payment of the debt we owe. The debt we owe him is paid in full by Jesus on the cross. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Beloved, when we realize and celebrate how much God has forgiven us, then we'll begin to understand how God's kingdom operates. If we live from forgiveness, then we practice forgiveness. We live, we have life, because of the overwhelming, abundant, immeasurable forgiveness God shows toward us in Christ. We live now, and we will live eternally on the basis of God's forgiveness. Jesus says, paid in full. I've got it covered. So now, when we think of someone who has hurt us, we are ready and, yes, able to show the kind of forgiveness toward that person. No scorekeeping, because that's how it is in the kingdom of God. Not counting, but forgiving. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.